Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, often reminded us that our hope is not found in the circumstances of this life, but in the promises of God. Through the teaching of His Word, countless people have found comfort, strength, and encouragement for life's journey. Today, we continue our series of the I Am statements of Jesus Christ, with our focus on Jesus' promise of victory over death as He declares, "I am the resurrection and the life." May the Lord encourage your heart as you hear today's message. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're going to have a great time today because we're going to be thinking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're looking at the great I Ams of the Lord, and today it's going to be, I am the resurrection and the life. So call your friends. We're going to have a great thrill as we see what Jesus has done. But we want to open with Psalm 94, where the psalmist writes, "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teacheth him out of the way, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until he pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But the judgment shall return unto the righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow him." And oh, Heavenly Father, that's what we're doing today on the Christian Worship Hour, gathering all over the world to follow you and to learn more about you. And maybe, Lord, we don't have you in our heart, and today we're going to open the door. And won't that be a rejoicing in heaven and our earth alike? So this is your service. We pray you to bless and to help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Barb's going to start us off with a beautiful song, "Trust and Obey." So God bless you, Barb.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and
trust and
Well, thank you, Barb. And that's a little sermon right there. If we just trust the Lord and obey the Lord. And we can all do that. You can be rich and or poor. You can be educated or not educated. It doesn't make a bit of difference. We can all trust Jesus. And sometimes the people, I remember when I first started out in the ministry and I was trying to get a man to pray to accept the Lord. His name was Archie. And he says, well, I'd like to do that, but I don't have the faith and I just don't have faith. Now, I didn't know what to do and said, Lord, give him some faith or something. No, Archie never did make that prayer, and I hope he did later on. But I found out that God has dealt to every man a measure of faith, and you can believe if you want to believe. And if you don't believe, it's your own stubbornness, because you can do it. And so after us Christians, that still applies. We trust Jesus, and we obey Jesus, and believe me, it's the only way to live. Well, I have to look at some of these letters. We just got some all nice letters, and we just want to thank you for writing. And our first one is from Fargo, North Dakota. And they write and say, thank you for getting me through some tough times. The Lord has been good for me. Thanks a million for your worship hour. I look forward to it every week. And that's the reason we can help her get through the tough times is because we're sharing the Word of God. You know, God tells us in, Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So if God has called you and you're in the will of God, he'll give you the strength to carry it out and do it. Just lean on the promise. We just got a letter from a young person and they're having a tough time in school. And what can I do? And I said, well, why don't you read that verse or say that verse every day before you go to school, because that's what I did when I was in seminary. And just to trust the Lord, obey the Lord, and he'll see you through. Here's Duluth, Minnesota. We love your services and have been listening to you for many years. Thanks for all you do and your dedication to the Lord. We all believe in the Lord and your teachings. You make it easy for us to understand. Bless you. And that's the key. We want to make it easy to understand. We preach so that the children can understand it. And her mother wrote in and said, I was bringing my two boys home, and we're listening to your service. And when we got to the garage, they asked if they could just stay and listen to the rest of the service. And they came to visit me. And I just was so thrilled. I just should get their pictures and all. But they can understand that. Listen, if children can love their parents, they can love Jesus, can ask Jesus into their heart. And so we're on the same level so they can understand. Now, here's one that we're hearing about these days especially, and it's from Marshalltown, Iowa. Thank you for being here for the whole world. Satan seems to be especially busy right now. Yeah, you bet he's busy. And you know why he's busy? He's always been busy. I was reading in the book of Job that took way to the beginning of time. And the devil was there causing trouble. And God says, what are you doing? And he says, I'm going to and fro throughout the earth, searching where he can cause trouble or get people to turn against God. And so these people, the devil, you know, the devil's always been working, but he's working harder now. Because he knows what's going to happen to him. You know, the devil knows about the Bible. He quoted scripture. He quoted scripture to Jesus. So he knows all about the Bible. And there's a verse in the Bible that just scares the daylights out of him. And it's in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. And it ought to scare him to death. And that's why he's working so hard. It says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, that's what God says. And that ought to put the fear of the Lord into you so that you will come to Jesus and be sure your sins are forgiven and your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But Satan will keep you in the kingdom of darkness all he can. He'll never give up. So you got to turn to the Lord, get right with the Lord, stay close to Jesus. Now, here's a nice letter, too, and it's from Sequim, Washington. And this person writes, and just listen to how the Holy Spirit works in her life. She says, even as a Christian, I felt so lost for so long. No family, no friends other than my little dog, Max. I don't drive, so I wasn't going to church. But then I found the Christian Worship Hour one morning. I half listened until about partway through, and Jesus touched my heart through your words, and I felt renewed. I began to wake early on Sundays and rushed to get ready for what I call church, watching the Christian Worship Hour. God began to fill these holes I had in my heart. I didn't feel so lonely. You spoke of God meeting your needs your whole life, and I prayed about sending you some money. He answered, and I rejoice in my heart to give you monthly so I can worship with you and hear this wonderful message. Now I have friends that I can't wait to see every Sunday and someday in heaven. God bless you all, your loving sister in Christ. And the thing that really spoke to my heart is she says, Jesus touched my heart. Now, how did he do that? It changed her life, and that's the Holy Spirit. And when we preach the Word of God, the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and applies it to these hearts, and people are born again, and they come to know Christ, and they find joy and peace. You see, Jesus said, he talks about the work of the Holy Spirit, and Paul writes about it, Ephesians 3:16. He says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. This could be translated, he will give you the mighty inner strengthening of the Holy Spirit. He speaks to our soul, and when we put our faith and trust in him, he gives us strength, and we become a new creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. That's the Holy Spirit, and he's in every service. And that's why we can't fail when we preach the gospel. And all of you preachers and you young preachers, preach the Bible. Because when you preach the Bible, you can speak with authority. You can say, thus saith the Lord. And you don't have to hem and haw around. And you don't need to hide from anybody. God says it, and you can stand on that. And then he uses that word to touch hearts. Here's one that writes from Tampa, Florida. Thank you for your clear teaching, especially for praying for the persecuted churches in the world. It's something that greatly troubles me, as I've always struggled with the thought of having that kind of courage. God bless you and your staff. Well, I thought of the same thing. I read about these beautiful people, and they love the Lord, and they're standing up for the Lord, and they're dying for the Lord. And so would I do that? Would I be strong enough? And oh, I hope I would. But you don't know till you face it. And here they are. I just read about these young men, four young men, and they all came out, they all hoods on them, and they are to renounce Christ. And they all said in Arabic, Jesus Christ is Lord, and they were beheaded. And so it's happening right today. And we ought to pray for them. We pray for the persecuted church all the time. And we preach so that you know what's something wonderful? We're on shortwave radio, and we reach a persecuted church. So when we're worshiping, they're worshiping with us. And I just rejoice and praise God that we can have a part in that wonderful ministry. And then one more, and then we'll have to go on with our, we sure don't want to miss the sermon. Oh, I hope you don't miss that. That's going to really be something. And so, but here's a letter, Thermopolis, Wyoming. Keep sharing God's word. I'm only turning 70, and you are like a spiritual father to me. It means more to me than you know when you say that Christian Worship Hour, special people, and tells us that God loves us, and that you also all love us. Have a great day, and a great week, great month, and a great year, your spiritual daughter. And so you remember what Jesus said. He told us all the believers, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, John 15, verse 12. And so we love God, and we love the Lord Jesus, and we love God's people. And something else, if you're a poor old lost sinner and you're far off from God, we love you too. God loves you. and he wants you to come to Jesus. That's why we got the Christian Worship Hour. It's to comfort God's people and then to help the people that don't know Jesus. You've never maybe heard about the coming to Jesus. And so you never prayed that prayer to ask Christ to come into your life. And so you're way off in sin. And you're going to be in that lake of fire with the devil just as sure as the world unless you come to Jesus. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's the door of your heart. "If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. I want to come in." And he'll take away all of our sins. And God says, "Your sins and iniquities will I remember no more." I prayed that prayer 88 years ago, 10-year-old boy, asking Jesus into my heart. And he saved me. And he got all those sins are gone, all the sins I've committed since then. Because I've got news for you. I never was perfect. And I made a lot of sins. And I went to Jesus and told him, and when we confess our sins, he forgives all our sins, and he cleanses us from all our sins. He loves you. Even if you don't love him, he loves you. But you have to come to Jesus in this life, because after death, the judgment. So we're just praying that you come to the Lord. And if you'd like to write to us, if you'd like to have literature, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy to remember. It's 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota. You don't know where South Dakota is, do you? Well, we got people in South Dakota don't know where it is. So it's just Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll send you literature. Love to hear from you. So now I'm going to ask Jan if she won't bring us a number and on the piano. And God bless you, Jan. Thank you, Jan. We're reading from John chapter 11 today. If you have your Bibles, I know some of you do, and you have your Bible there, and you're all set, and some of you get dressed up with Sunday clothes on, and boy, we got people coming to church. They don't, well, don't. Let's not get into that. But you can read it with us just like you're in church, and maybe you're with your husband and your wife. And you know, we have some beautiful stories of a husband and wife, and they worship together. They couldn't go to church. They can't get out, no possible way. And they worship with us, and all of a sudden, one of them is taken home. And then the remaining spouse stays behind and worships with us. She's alone now. But now that husband isn't very far, that wife isn't very far, because heaven is only a breath away, one little breath. They're that close. And so we're just happy that you can share the scriptures with us. And then in our prayer today, we always pray for the persecuted church. We're going to pray for the persecuted church in China. So Jesus tells then in verse 14, chapter 11, 14, "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto them. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha was, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in him shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which came into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture, such a beautiful passage of this man Lazarus, and he has his brother and sister, Mary and Martha. Jesus spent a lot of time in that home, and now Lazarus is dead, and then you've come on the scene. And by your great and mighty power, you raised him from the grave. And as we look at this story today, Lord, we see this great, I am the resurrection and the life. And we rejoice that we have a Redeemer, we have a Savior, we have a Founder who is not in the grave somewhere, but he was in the grave but is raised from the grave. And you are alive forever. And it is our prayer that Heavenly Father, all of those who listen to us today and worship with us will put their faith in Jesus. And that they have, if they haven't received you, they're dead in their sins and they can't go where Jesus goes. They have to go where the devil goes. And you're talking to them right now and you're telling them they just got a feeling. They're not hearing a voice or anything, but they just know, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. I want to go to heaven. And so they can just help them to make that prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake. And oh, may multitudes do that. And Lord, we're praying for the persecuted church today. And we think of how, especially in China, and we know that the lives are being given up because of their stand for you. And we know the church is openly persecuted in China as it is in many parts of the world. And so give them strength and help them to know that all over the world, Lord, wherever this program goes, and it goes all over the world, we're praying for them. And we're praying that they'll be strong and they'll be true and they'll wear the martyr's crown and we'll see them in heaven and we care. And Lord, maybe they could pray for us because in some parts of the world, the church is only lukewarm and Jesus is ready to spit of us out of his mouth lest we have a revival. So they can pray for us too. So now, Lord, this is your service. We pray you'll bless us and help us as we worship you in this and look into the Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And before I get to preach, Hank's going to sing, and he's going to sing a song, Because of the Blood. And God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor. When my soul cried out for help, he was there. When my heart was broken beyond repair, when my world came crashing in and my life was filled with sin, he was there for me every step of the way. Because of the blood, I found peace in the storm. When I see the cross, I find strength when I'm worn. Love has touched my heart like no one else can. My soul has been set free by the blood of the Lamb. These eyes that once were blind, they now can see. The chains have been broken,
I've been set free,
and it's because Jesus died and his blood has been applied. I can live my life and never be afraid. Because of the blood, I found peace in the storm. When I see the cross, I find strength when I'm worn. His love has touched my heart like no one else can.
My soul has been set free by the blood of the Lamb.
Because of the blood, I found peace in the storm. When I see the cross, I find strength when I'm worn. His love has touched my heart like no one else can.
My soul has been set free by the blood of the Lamb. My soul has been set free by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. God bless you, Hank. Hank and I have been hanging around together for about 60 years, something like that, Hank. And boy, I love to have him singing about the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. I just thank God for all of our team and all of our helpers. But Hank and I go back a long ways. We have this wonderful statement. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And that is a startling statement in every way you look at it. And it happens to be the sixth I am, six out of eight I ams. And this is the sixth one. What a tremendous I am it is. It means that Jesus Christ was dead, but he came back to life. He was dead. He was raised from the dead after 3 days and three nights in the tomb. That is no small matter, my friends, because as a matter of fact, Christianity is the only religion in all of the world where the founder was dead and was brought back to life again. The only religion in the world, take that into mind. The founder of our faith was 3 days and three nights in the grave. He is now alive forevermore. That is precisely what Jesus declared when St. John had a vision of him in heaven. And Jesus declared, fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. It gives you the goose pimples to think of this great and mighty Jesus Christ. And because he is forever alive, he's able to declare to Martha and to all the whole wide world, he is able to say, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. John 11, 25 and 26. Did you hear that? Never die. I remember as a young boy going to a funeral sometime in the 1930s, and we went to a sermon, and the pastor read this scripture, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Never die. Now, I'm sitting there, and I'm a kid about 10, 12 years old, 13 maybe, I'd accepted the Lord, there he is, and he and the pastor's got the pulpit, by the pulpit there's the casket, and he's saying, Jesus says, "And he shall never die." And I'm looking there, and I says, I know that he's got to be dead. He's as dead as a mackerel. It wouldn't take a Philadelphia lawyer to figure that out. He is dead. And I thought Jesus must have had it wrong. He must have meant when he said that whosoever liveth in me shall never die. He must have meant that, well, he meant it in a different light than we're looking at it. I couldn't comprehend it. But later on, I discovered that Jesus was right. If I put my trust in Jesus, the resurrected Jesus Christ, I will never die. And how can you ever beat that? And how can it ever happen that that would happen? Death is simply this. When death means that the spirit and soul leaves the body, that's all there is to it. When we read of Jesus on the cross, we read in Mark 15:37, "And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the spirit. And when he gave up the spirit, he died." You see, when a person dies, his or her spirit departs to go to heaven or go to hell, one of the two. And so it here it is. The spirit lives forever. It is eternal. It lives forever in heaven or in hell, in one of those two places. It never ceases to be. When I was accepted Jesus as a 10-year-old boy, he saved my spirit and my soul. And that spirit and soul will never die. He gave eternal life, that eternal life, the minute I accepted Jesus. And for almost 90 years, I've had that eternal life, and it's always been there. And I'll never die, because when I die, it just seems to me my spirit and soul goes to be with the Lord, but my spirit lives on. The eternal life is here on earth level. I die, and it ascends into heaven. I never did die. I never will die. Don't pray for me, Buster, because I'll be having the time of my life when I come to the dear Lord Jesus Christ. And that night when I gave my life to the Lord, I got eternal life, and I've had it ever since, and I'll have it forever and ever. It'll never cease. So there is in Christ is the Christ is all of all power. He has power to forgive sins. He has power to raise the dead. He has power then to under the Father in heaven. He sits at the right hand of the throne of God with all power. He has power to intercede for us, our great high priest, who never gives up on us but prays for us. He has power to come to earth again and rule and reign, and that's what he'll do for 1,000 years, this great God Almighty, in the name of Jesus Christ. Today I want to look at that risen Christ when he comes again to the earth. And remember this, he said he would come again. He told his angels, he told his disciples he would come again. He says, "And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again." The angels of God said the same thing. They said, this same Jesus at the ascension, this same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. There can be just no question about it. Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, the all-powerful Christ, is going to come again. And when he comes again, 6 things are going to happen. First of all, when the risen Christ comes again, he's going to fully redeem his church. By that I mean everyone, a member of his body, is going to be complete. They're going to be saved, and the spirit and the soul and the body is going to be put together again. All of these Christians that have died somewhere all over the face of the earth, then the spirit and soul is going to be with the Lord. If they trust in Jesus, they're going to be with the Lord. When Jesus comes again, he's going to unite that spirit and soul, which is eternal. And then he's going to take that body, and it's going to be eternal. It's incorruptible. See, the body is corruptible, but the spirit and soul are incorruptible. But when Jesus comes, he's going to raise us up, and that body's going to be incorruptible, just like the spirit and the soul. When a person is born again, that person is completely saved, completely and perfectly. But just remember this. It's the spirit and the soul and the body all united and all together with the Lord in the heaven. But that's not the end of the story. because God says he's going to raise up that dead body, and whether it's out in the cemetery, and we have people worrying about it. I get people letters all the time, what about cremation? Well, can he raise up that, those that have been burned, they've been burned to the stake in the Old Testament, living for the Lord, and in the early church, how many have been burned to the stake? How many have been lost in homes of fire and places like that, eaten by animals and all of the rest? Well, it doesn't matter how you die. It just simply means that when Jesus Christ is coming again, when he comes again, the dead body of that believer is going to be raised from the dead. And God puts it in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. There's no power that can impede or cancel this process. It's going to happen. The risen Christ is going to make it happen, and it's going to happen with our dead bodies and raised up. And he tells us, then the second thing, another thing he tells us, that resurrected body is going to be like Jesus' resurrected body. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, 53 and 54, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this incorruptible shall put, and this corruptible shall put incorruption, then we shall be like him, and we shall have the same image of Jesus Christ in his resurrected body. We shall be like him, 2 Corinthians 3, 8. The resurrected body is going to be exactly like Jesus' resurrected body. And we're going to recognize each other when we get to heaven. Like one little old lady, they ask her, they says, Grandma, do you think we know our loved ones in heaven? And Grandma says, well, my goodness, you think we're going to be dumber in heaven than we are on earth? Of course we'll know each other, see each other. I got a little pamphlet, I've just written it. And if you want, at the end of the service, I'll give the address and you can write it. Will we know our loved ones in heaven? We just got it from the printer this last week. And we set it out on a free will offering basis. I think 11 or 12 pages. Everything from the Bible. I didn't die and come back to life. If I wanted to sell some books, that's what I do. I say, I died. I was dead in a mackerel. And I can tell you what a lot of things I saw. And then I came back to life. And here's my book. And it's only 10 bucks. And you ought to get it. And do they get it? You know, talk about shysters. Well, anyway, when this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ comes, he's going to raise us up and we're going to sow that body. It's going to be like Jesus. They recognize Jesus, didn't they? And they'll recognize us. And this body then is going to be raised. It's going to be changed. It's going to be changed for the better. It's going to be changed into the image of the Son of God, from whose hand we came originally. It's not going to be the image of some ape, as these people from this evolutionists tell us of all the crazy things. And then they call it a science. Evolution is not a science. It's a theory, and it's a poor theory. And it comes right out of hell. And I'll tell you where we come from. In the scriptures, in Psalm 100, if I ever live to be 100, I don't know if I will. Only the Lord knows. I'm going to preach 100 psalm, and I already got the part of the psalm I'm going to use. It is he who hath made us, and not we ourselves. That great God Almighty is the creator. And that's what we're talking about today. And so this change is coming, and they're going to be like the Lord, and we're going to be a body like the Christ. 1 John 5:2 says, Beloved, now are we the children of God. It doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when Jesus shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He will fully redeem his church. And second, the risen Christ will come again. He'll release creation from its curse. Creation is under a curse. That's why we have thistles. That's why the animals kill each other. It's under a curse, and it groans under the curse. And that curse was placed upon it in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned, and God put a curse on a man and woman, and he put it on all of creation. And that curse is taken the moment we accept Jesus personally. But the animal kingdom has to struggle with that until Jesus comes again. And then it'll all be taken away. The risen Christ is going to release it from creation. Romans 8, verses 9 to 23 tells us that. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That is the coming of Jesus. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves do groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is, the redemption of our body. So we're going to have that new body, and we're going to have that rod of Christ, and all of creation is going to be liberated and set free from this awful thing in life. We have a story of that, and Isaiah talks about it when Jesus comes, and the curse is lifted, and now we're in the millennium, 1,000 years he reigns, and Isaiah says, the wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand in the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy in all of my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the waters cover the sea. There it is, that wonderful coming of Christ. Creation will be liberated. And then third, when the risen Christ comes again, he will deliver his people from the great tribulation. There's an awful time coming upon this earth, and you just read the book of Revelation. It's just filled with the horribleness that's coming on this earth. It's called the Great Tribulation. It portrays the fearful events of this awful tribulation. But the people of God will need never have to worry. I get letters that say, will the church go through the tribulation? Will Christian go through the tribulations? Absolutely not. The risen Christ will come and take his people out of this world before the wrath of God is revealed against all the plagues and terribleness. In 1 Thessalonians 1:10, Paul says, for we wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, when Jesus comes again, he will deliver us from wrath to come. He will deliver us from the great tribulation. We'll never have to face it. And then another thing, when Jesus Christ comes again, he will judge the wicked. And when we talk about the wicked, you think about Hitler or something like that. I'll tell you who the wicked are. The wicked are the non-believers. If you don't accept Jesus Christ and take your place with Jesus Christ, you're set with the wicked. And I'd have people tell me, oh no, I'm not going to be that. I'm going to be neutral. Everybody's neutral. And so I'm going to be neutral. Well, you know, Jesus talked about that. He settled that good and proper. What did he say? He says, if you're not for me, you're against me. Whosoever is not for me is against me. No middle ground. Jesus or the devil. Heaven or hell. Black and white. That's all. There's nothing to argue, there's nothing to fuss about. And so you're in that great kingdom of, that awful kingdom of darkness, and your eyes are blinded. And then the light of the world, Jesus, the light of the world, that great I am of Jesus, I am the light of the world. And that light shines through, and you say, I have seen the light. I have seen the Savior. I've seen Jesus. I've been born again. I belong to Christ, and I have a new life and a new place. And now my eyes are opened, and I now live in the kingdom of light. And I was once a terrible sinner headed for hell, and now I'm in the body of Christ, and I'm going to be in heaven. Oh, I love to preach, because there's hope for everybody. And the only thing that can keep you out of that, knowing Jesus Christ and going into heaven, is your own stubborn will. You're going to do it your way. You got another way of doing it. You're better than somebody you know. And who doesn't have somebody? Aren't we better than somebody we know? We know the devil, so we're better than the devil. At least we got him beat, see? Maybe not by much, but we got him beat. Well, when Jesus says, you must be born again. There's no other way, there's just the one way. And so you come to Jesus. And Jesus talks about this, the judging of the wicked. And listen to this in Revelation chapter 20. And John says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. and there was no place for them. See, it's just a great white throne. There's no heaven, no earth, nothing, and except the lost, and you're held there in space before that great white throne. He says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. That's the unsaved people now. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades were delivered up of the dead that were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And listen to this. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I'm going to tell you, friends, I wouldn't go to bed tonight until I got down on my knees and said, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you, please, to take my sins away and wash them away and make me pure and clean and write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus, I want to be into heaven with you and not with the devil in hell. But you're going to be in one of those places. And you say, oh, that's hate speech. That's love speech. I'm just telling, Jesus told us that over and over about this weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He told it over and over. And why did he do that? He's warning us. He's telling us, turn, turn. Somebody had a sermon, turn or burn, and that's exactly it. And so we're going to be delivered from that. And then when Jesus comes again, Satan will finally be destroyed. And we have that story of Satan, of how that he goes and causes all the grief in the world and all of the sorrow and all the evil. The devil is working overtime. And on he works, and all of a sudden you come to this. Jesus comes again, and he rules and he reigns, and his time is going to be no more. It's going to be the end of this, and the new Jerusalem is going to come out of heaven. And we read this, Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Satan is going to be destroyed, and he's going to be destroyed forever and ever. It doesn't mean annihilation. It means, Jesus says, it's going to be suffering forever and ever. Oh, we beg of you to come to Jesus. But one other thing that's going to happen, and that is Jesus is going to come and reward his servants. I think of the persecuted church when I read this. I pray for the persecuted church every day, and we pray for it in every service. And those who are dying for the Lord, oh, this wonderful Jesus, he's going to come and he's going to liberate them and he's going to reward them. We're told in Matthew 16, 27, that for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. That is to Christians, because we're never saved by works. We are saved by grace, but we have works after we're saved. And that's what he's talking about. And talking about people that love the Lord, serve the Lord. 1 Peter 5, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Oh, my friends, this wonderful Jesus is going to come, and we're going to stand before the great God, and we're going to rejoice because our sin name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our sins are all washed away. And God tells us in Isaiah, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And so that precious blood of Christ. And you know what we're going to sing about in heaven? They don't sing about it now. Don't hear them singing out in some of these churches anymore. When we get to heaven, we're going to sing about how he was slain for us. The blood of the Lamb was slain for the sins of the world, and we rejoice in it from every kindred and tribe on the face of the earth. And so, let me just mention something you need to do, because with all of this coming, it's going to come. It could come before the day is over. It could come 1,000 years from now. I don't know, and I don't care. That's not my department. Only the Father knows, Jesus said, see? And so this wonderful Father in heaven, and what do? We have to come to Jesus. Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, when he heard that, he about fell over backwards, never heard of such a thing. Now, Nicodemus was a teacher of the Jews, That means that he knew the Old Testament backward and forward and inside and out. But he didn't have nothing about being born again. And he says, well, what am I going to do? How, he says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in the mother's womb and be born? And Jesus, to straighten him out, as a Nicodemus, I'm not talking about the physical. I'm talking about the spirit and the soul. I'm talking about the spiritual things. Jesus said, this is plain as day, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that's one thing. That which is born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is another thing. And I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. And shift gears, Nicodemus, and get with it. And so as many as receive that, I'll give them the children of God. And I'm going to tell you what my favorite verse is. My favorite verse in all the Bible is John 5:24. And I remember when I accepted Jesus, I was 10 years old. And I was a teenager then, and I didn't know if I was safe. See, the devil, he'll torment you. He'll make you doubt. He'll just cause you trouble. And I said, I thought, I wonder if I said the right words. And I wondered if I had enough faith. And I wonder if I was sincere enough. And I didn't hear any voices, and I didn't see any lights. And, oh, what am I going to do? And I had a farmer friend of mine, and he was visiting with him one day, and he says, ask me if I was a Christian. And I said, I don't know. I hope so. And I told him the story, and he gave me John 5:24. What does that say? Words of Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life, period. That's all there is to it. So Jesus is telling us, you've heard of his word, and this old preacher, he doesn't do very good, but he gets a word in there. You can understand the Bible. He can preach good enough so you can understand what he's saying. And you have to do this. You've heard the word. Now you have to believe. I can't do that for you. Your wife can't do it for you. Mostly it's the men that don't come. It's the women come. But you come, whatever the situation is, maybe you're a child, maybe you're an old person. I don't suppose anybody's 98 and isn't saved, but if there is, you better call in the name of the Lord, brother, because you're on thin ice just like I am. And so he says, yeah, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, you heard it, and believeth on him that sent me, just believe, he's dealt to every man a measure of faith. And then Jesus says, hath, you have eternal life the minute you pray it. And he isn't done yet. He says, and shall not come into condemnation. He's saying, you won't go into hell, but you pass from death unto life, eternal life in heaven. You pray that prayer. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to forgive me for my sins and come into my life. And I'll turn from my sins the best I can. You won't be perfect, but you'll try, see. Thank you, Jesus. And then if you've done that, you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. You write to us anywhere in the world, and we'll send you literature. Or you can go to our website, ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you can get us there. And then another thing, you know, it costs us to carry on these programs. And now for over 40 years, and where do we get our money? Where do we get our income? We're not helped by, we're not underwritten by any denomination or corporation. We're not written by any group of people. It comes God's people. God's people. And so we just say, now what you have to do, all of you God's people, you say, now should I help the Christian Worship Hour? Is this something that people need to hear? Will it help the Christians, the old saints, and help the unsaved? And then if God says no, give it somewhere else, by all means do it. But if he says yes, then you say, how much? And then you say, that much? But just whatever God says, see, and you send it, and we'll carry it on. Well, now I know one of the men will say, well, how do we know how he spends it? He doesn't look too honest to me. And I just think it might be gone. We're a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and we are audited. They audit us every year just as clear as a bell, and everything's on the level. If you want to have our little Bible study, just ask for the new song. If you want to have the, do we know our loved ones? Put that and write to us. And we'd like to hear from you. And then if you do that, we'll just carry on doing the preaching of the wonderful word of God. And I always have to tell you this at the close of every service. I never close a service. I want you to know that God loves you. And we get letters from people who say, oh, I know God wouldn't love me. And I had one lady tell me she lived a hard life. And she says, oh, if I would get baptized, the water would turn black. She thought water washed away the baptism, took away the sins. But the only way is to come, Jesus, to come into your life. God loves you no matter what your sin might be. And the Christian Worship Hour loves you. We have most all of the people are volunteer workers. And they do it now for over 40 years because they want you to get that message. They want you to come to be in heaven with them. And I want to tell you this, I love you. And I've been preaching for 75 years. And so I know somebody said, not very good for 75 years, but you got the message, didn't you? And so I love you too. I want to see you in heaven. You can see me on television, but I can't see you. I want to see what you look like. I want to shake your hand. And Jesus wants you to come. So you are loved. And no matter what your situation is, you just come to Jesus, ask him to take away your sins, and your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'll see you over there. So until then, God bless you. God bless you, everyone, in the Savior's wonderful name. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For 76 years as a pastor, his heart's desire was that everyone would know that Jesus loves them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin can have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus, we invite you to visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream this message again along with other 30 and 60 minute programs, find a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter titled A New Song, explore devotionals and frequently asked questions, submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page, or leave us a comment or question. Our weekly program is also available on our website, Facebook page, Vimeo and YouTube channels, and on several podcast platforms. Please continue to pray for this ministry, and if the Lord leads you, consider helping us financially as we proclaim the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.